KZZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. An intense manhunt for the killer of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson in Midtown Manhattan. There's now clear surveillance video of his face from the hostel where he stayed. No surprise, says ABC News contributor Brad Garrett.
Going around Manhattan that has a camera, it seems like every block and sometimes multiple cameras, even inside the hostel, even inside the Starbucks. I mean, you'd have to be naive to think that you're photograph isn't captured every time you step into a place.
A new jobs report this morning from the Labor Department is expected to show a big hiring rebound in November. The expectation that the U.S. added 208,000 new jobs last month. Two kindergartners continue fighting for their lives after Wednesday's shooting at a religious school in Northern California. Police say the 56-year-old suspect had a long criminal record and a history of mental illness. Subaru has dethroned Toyota as the most reliable car brand, according to Consumer Reports. This is ABC News. Two American hikers and one Canadian feared dead after going missing on New Zealand's tallest mountain. Police say they believe the men fell, although their bodies haven't been found. Inspector Vicky Walker says conditions at the Oroki Mountain are too dangerous to continue the search.
Our search teams have been hampered by ongoing treacherous alpine conditions. It has been too windy for helicopters and simply too dangerous to put teams into the environment.
The two Americans, Kurt Blair and Carlos Romero, were certified alpine guides. A gamer under arrest for attacking a woman he met online.
A warning for online gamers after police say two men traveled from Canada to California to find and attack a fellow female gamer. Law enforcement says Canadian Devin Vanderhoff and a Monterey County woman knew each other from online gaming after playing together for years.
They say last week Vanderhoff and his friend took a flight and traveled to her home. Dave Packer, ABC News.
You're an organ donor, right? Here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Ho ho, the holidays are here, and it's time to pick a present from the grown-up gift list with Civic Media's statewide text-to-win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of the grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on the grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win starting Monday morning. Ho ho ho!
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
The Lions win again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from Ford Field in Detroit, where the Lions beat the Packers again last night, this time 34-31. Lions head coach Dan Campbell gambling on fourth down and converting to kick the winning field goal, leaving no time on the clock for Green Bay to score.
I just felt like we needed to end it on offense, you know, and I did not want to give that ball back, and I believe we could get that. I believe we could convert, you know, and I trusted that old line, and they came through for us.
The Packers fall to 9-4. Could they face the Lions again here in Detroit in the playoffs? Quarterback Jordan Love.
That's one thing that we just got to continue to take it a week at a time, like we always talk about. Obviously, we got a couple games left here, and you know, we're trying to finish on the right note and win out these last couple games and handle business, take it one game at a time, and obviously we'll see what happens postseason time.
NBA, the Bucks are in Boston tonight to play the Celtics. College hoops, Marquette host Wisconsin tomorrow at 12:30 at Fiserv Forum. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie have a new show that they say will be as unforgettable as the first show they did together called, who cares? The duo is collaborating again for Peacock's new show, Paris and Nicole, The Encore. The short 3-episode series drops December 12th on Peacock. Following in the footsteps of Ross and Rachel, Barry Keoghan and Sabrina Carpenter are on a break after dating for a year due to rumors of infidelity on the part of Keoghan, who apparently has been hooking up with a TikToker, probably someone who got famous lip-syncing Carpenter songs. The influencer's name is Becky Hill, and she has 4 million followers on OnlyFans, which is somehow 5 million more than I have. People assume infidelity is the reason they split, but maybe Carpenter finally saw Saltburn and hasn't stopped vomiting. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy this morning, becoming partly cloudy this afternoon. Our high today in the low 20s with wind out of the west at 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly cloudy, low in the low to mid teens. Tomorrow, a little breezy, partly cloudy, 36. We'll get to near 40 by Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 17.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dan Schaefer will be here from the recombobulation area. We'll break down all things in the news and wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom, carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network at 7:06 on this Friday morning, December 6th. Nice to have you along. Coming up in just a bit, we'll talk to former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. You can hear his show about legal matters, Amicus, every Saturday morning across the Civic Media Radio Network, and we will talk a bit about the Trump transition, but actually not just the Trump team, but the Biden team as well, raising some concerns about presidential pardons. And it's a very powerful responsibility given to presidents, and how do you test the limits of them? Are there any limits on them? So we'll talk to Jim Santel in a bit about that. We will wrap up the hour talking to Dan Schumacher about sports. He's the athletic director up at Northland College in Ashland. And we'll talk about the Packers falling short against the Detroit Lions in Thursday night football. Detroit kicking a field goal as time expired to win 34-31. The Packers didn't look awful by any stretch, but Detroit is clearly having the better year. Now 11 games in a row that the Lions have won. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is off this morning, getting an early start to the weekend, but Rob in Tigerton, always on duty, where he says good morning from Tigerton, where it's cloudy and 14 degrees. The wind chill is 2. Some of the county and town roads have slippery spots and stretches, especially in shaded areas. Yesterday, I had to get to my garage and recycling containers from the ditch after 50-mile-an-hour winds blew them over Wednesday night. I hope that my three favorite radio personalities, Pat, Greg, and Brittany, have a wonderful weekend. I assume that that was not in any particular order. I'm sure it would have been Brittany, Greg, and Pat, but we appreciate
Brittany, Pat, then like Motherhood for Good People, and then
Kristen Lierley,
Mark Pocan. Who's going to be on later
Dan
in the
Schumacher,
show? Dan Schumacher.
Melissa Kay.
That one interview that was Selena terrible Heller, back about a year ago.
And then,
hello,
Greg Bach. No, no, it doesn't work that way at all. But nice. It's nice of us to be so humble that way, right? Doesn't that make us adorable?
Do we call it humble or do we call it self-esteem issues? I'll talk to my therapist about it.
I can't even imagine if I saw a therapist what they would say. They'd say, how much money do you have? We're going to be here a while.
They're like,
you know?
Like, welcome. You say hello. They're like, get out.
Yeah, they're going to be like, wait, aren't you the guy that is engaged in shameless self-promotion? For example, you could go to volume1.org right now. This is
really?
The final day of voting for the Best of the Chippewa Valley contest in the Volume 1 newspaper. Go over there, create a free account, and go over to the media section and vote for your favorite radio show for the Chippewa Valley. If you were driving through, what would you want to listen to? Of the choices that are there, of course. They don't do the write-in vote thing.
Can we vote for ourselves?
Can we? Yeah, yeah, we can. Okay. What, you haven't voted yet?
I'm looking at it right now. That's wrong. That's the wrong one.
Volume 1, O-N-E, spell out the word, volume1.org. And yeah, vote for yourself. Vote for our show.
Please.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not under any aspersions as to, you know, how we might do, but we're not going to get zero votes. I know that much, so I got that going for me,
which is nice.
Yeah, this is the place that not only has a morning radio show but a daily newsletter. You can sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up in the top banner of the homepage, and you'll find out more about. Let's see. I think Christina Laurie put stories in here today. More stories about Wisconsin themed gifts that you could shop for as part of the holiday season. We are definitely in the holiday swing of things here. Santa's Workshop is getting bigger with every delivery from FedEx or UPS or down at the post office. And I see things come in that Sherry has ordered. And I'm always like, oh, maybe I shouldn't see this. Maybe this is going to be a gift for me. And then, you know, she opens them up right in front of me because they're all for the grandkids. There's just so many cool things that we are getting them. We, meaning Mrs. Claus, is doing all the work while Santa just yaps on the radio over here. But, you know, it's
nominated for an award, Pat Kreitlow?
There we go. See, I feel so much better already. You thank you. You can tell us about your Christmas prep or anything else that you'd like to care to share with the show at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. All right, so I told you that Jim Santel was going to be here in a bit and that Dan Schumacher was going to be here at the end of the hour, and I can hear some of you saying, well, Pat, you didn't mention Mark Jacob. He's always there Friday mornings at 7:30. Not today. Yesterday, we talked to him at 7:30 because this morning at 7:30, Congressman Mark Pocan will be our guest, and we will be talking about the upcoming Trump administration and the upcoming Republican-controlled Congress and what to expect from it. And, I mean, we know by and large what to expect, cue the circus music, but you know, might there be this opportunity that Republican leadership wants to show that they're doing something productive and bipartisan. And, you know, they always talk about the first 100 days of a new Congress. And so we will ask Congressman Pocan, in all seriousness, what that might be. Maybe they do a farm bill after a year and a half of delay. I don't even know. So we'll see if Congressman Pocan might know when we talk to him about that coming up in just a little bit. We'll talk to him just after 7:30. So there's a lot of Trump transition talk with Congressman Pocan and with Jim Santel coming up as well. Well, again, as mentioned in sports, the Packers lost to Detroit 34-31. The team is now on a 10-day break, but they continue their streak of primetime games. There was the Thursday night game for Thanksgiving, a Thursday night game last night. Next will be Sunday night football, just over a week from now, and they will have a Sunday night game at Seattle. And then that will be followed 8 nights later by a Monday night football game. That will be December 23rd at Lambeau Field, hosting Seattle. And then come the final two games of the season. The one on December 29th is supposed to be a Sunday noon game at U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis against the Vikings, followed by the first week of January, the regular season wrap-up at home against the Chicago Bears. However, as we know, that so-called flex scheduling that the NFL does could mean that those games go pretty much anywhere. So it is possible that it's nothing but primetime games moving forward. We're just going to have to wait and see. So again, Sunday Night Football is next for the Packers, followed by a Monday night game. And in all cases, you can catch those Packer games on WRCO in Richland Center, WCQM in Park Falls, WRJN in Racine, Kenosha. The Milwaukee Bucks are in Boston tonight to take on the Celtics. That'll start at 6:30. The Badger men's basketball team, 11th ranked in the country, will face off against the Marquette men's basketball team, ranked 5th in the country. That'll be at Fiserv Forum, and that will be tomorrow at 12:30. You can hear that game on the Civic Media app and on these Civic Media radio stations, WLAK in Amory, WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, WRJN in Racine, Kenosha, WRCE in Richland Center. Pregame starts at 11:30 for Badger men's basketball tomorrow. Then on Sunday, the Badger women's basketball team will host Rutgers. Coverage begins at 1:40 on several Civic Media radio stations. The Badger men's hockey team hosts Michigan State this evening and tomorrow, 5:30 both days. And you can catch that on WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, along with all kinds of high school sports on the Civic Media app. And finally, the NCAA Women's Volleyball Tournament is going on. The Badger women are a 2 seed. They host the first round and the second round. They defeated Fairfield in straight sets last night. They will host tonight's second round match against 7 seed Georgia Tech. The Marquette women are a 5 seed in the tournament. They're playing in Salt Lake City. They beat Florida Gulf Coast last evening. They will face the 4 seed, host Utah, coming up later today. The Badger women's hockey team, top ranked in the nation, is 17-1, and they are in Mankato, Minnesota, to play Minnesota State tonight and tomorrow afternoon. If you missed it last hour, we talked all about how the Evers administration took a rather modest $1.5 million tax credit program for a smaller company in the Kenosha County area, and has now parlayed that into a nearly $4 billion expansion by Eli Lilly for pharmaceuticals, taking advantage of the fact that Wisconsin is now a regional biomed tech hub. And so if you want to listen back to last hour, you can head over to civicmedia.us to find all of the stations that carry Up North News Radio. You can click on shows, go to our specific show page, and listen back to last hour or to any previous program. And you can also subscribe to us as a podcast. If you can't catch us weekday mornings from 6 to 8, you can listen on demand as you would with any podcast. Just look up Up North News Radio wherever you get your podcasts. One final note, this segment where we've talked frequently to Julie Lassa. She and I served together in the state Senate. Most recently, she has been the state director for rural development for the U.S. Department of Agriculture. And the USDA, of course, headed by Secretary Tom Vilsack, they're starting to wind things down because, of course, with a new administration, there will be all kinds of new faces in there and, shall we say, different priorities. The Biden administration has put a premium on rural investment, and Secretary Vilsack this week announced nearly $200 million going out the door to support more than 100 local economic development projects as part of the Rural Partners Network across 14 different states. Well, Julie Lassa yesterday announced that the Department for Wisconsin got about $375,000 in grants for new projects. For example, in Pepin County at Black's Valley Ag Supply, they're getting about a $50,000 grant to install a solar electric array at their facility in Durand. It'll generate enough power to power about a dozen homes and save them nearly $8,000 in energy costs per year. And then there's a household water and well system grant that's going to be used in Florence, Forest, Langlade, Marinette, Menominee, Oconto, Oneida, Shawano, and Vilas counties, including 6 tribal nations, a revolving loan program of over $300,000 to help with homesteads out there. Will the Trump administration have something like that in their USDA for rural development? We'll ask Mark Procan in a few minutes, but we're not going to hold our breath. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Friday morning, when you're here, you're up north. We'll be right back.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kalen Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now I know, now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Cash Patel, who Trump has nominated to be the head of the FBI, saying he wants to basically shut down the main parts of the FBI. Bill Barr, MAGA Republican Attorney General to Donald Trump. Quote, the very idea of moving Patel into a role like this showed a shocking detachment from reality. Unquote. This is not the left calling out Patel. This is the right.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Jeffrey from Madison.
I worked for the city of Madison for 34 years. Act 10 cost me $42,000.
Yep.
In 1977, the state of Wisconsin passed a law that says public employees cannot strike. With Act 10, now we can't bargain for working conditions and benefits, so they basically turn public employees into second-class citizens.
Yes.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots.
Woot, woot!
And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Send lawyers, guns, and money. Dad, get me out of this. Ha!
You can hear Amicus Law Review live on Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock across the Civic Media Radio Network. Learn more at civicmedia.us. Playback on Sunday. I'm sure you can listen on demand at the website any old time, where you will hear the friendly tones emanating from former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, who joins us now from an undisclosed location. But wherever he is for doing his home-based radio show, he has just the most gorgeous sky behind him as we get set for another chilly but beautiful morning. Jim Santel, how are you?
Delighted to be with you once again. And yes, indeed, it is chilly here, but beautiful. This is what fall and winter is all about in Wisconsin.
Yep, where we are hunkered down here for those of us who are not necessarily ones to be out in the woods or on the ski slopes. Some of us just like the warm comfort of our computer monitors as we talk to one another here. As always, Jim, no shortage of material to talk about when it comes to the Trump transition, which, by the way, acknowledges that we're transitioning away from Trump's legal troubles. But that does not change the fact that America has elected a convicted felon, the first convicted criminal who's going to be taking office. He just hasn't been sentenced yet. And it gets us to the subject of pardons. And this comes up with every administration in the closing days. You get staffers who are going scurrying about. And in my mind, Jim, not to take them off the hook, but it's like you got to do something at the end of an administration. You're trying to get everything checked off, and one of those things might be a final flurry of pardons that might come. Now, we, of course, have heard all about the Hunter Biden pardon this week, but we've also heard all about all the pardons that Donald Trump gave at the end of his last term, which was basically a who's who of American political crime. Jim, has there ever been any talk of trying to find a way to test the limits on pushing back against the power of the pardon, or does it just really appear to be that immense?
It is apparently just that immense. And believe it or not, there have been a couple of Supreme Court cases that have really affirmed that. It's in the Constitution, of course, so this is not a statutory authority. This is not something that is a program of a particular administration or many of them. James Madison put it in our Constitution, basically said presidents have plenary authority. They've got expansive authority to do this. It is one of those very few, if not the only thing in the Constitution that's virtually unchecked. There's a case called Garland, not the president, attorney general, another one, to the Supreme Court said the power is unlimited and it extends to every offense known to law. There is nothing that Congress can do to limit it, and it cannot be excluded from any particular class. So it is very broad, and that's the point. What has happened, to your very good point, Pat, what has happened in history, including recently going back quite literally almost 100 years, you can go back and look at Andrew Johnson, who pardoned all of the former Confederates in the wake of the Civil War. Every president has done this. It is difficult to find an administration which is, there has not been controversy, including, as you also just said, Donald Trump. He pardoned Steve Bannon, Paul Manafort, Roger Stone. And stunningly, he is promising, as indicated at least during the campaign, that he is promising to pardon about 1,200 people who have been convicted properly through the judicial system of insurrection on January 6th. Now, the point of the other point I would raise about that, just to do some civics here early morning on Friday, is just this. And it gets to your other question about, are we going pardon happy here? The answer is, a pardon also is an imputation. It is an acknowledgement of guilt. And again, there's another Supreme Court case called Burdick, in which the Supreme Court says it is an acceptance, a confession of having committed a crime. And again, when it comes to Hunter Biden, yes, he's found guilty of the gun offense. He had pled guilty to the tax offense. He is a convicted felon, and therefore a pardon is appropriate. As you just said, right now we're getting some reporting that at the end of this administration, there are folks running around saying, well, gee, maybe we should do some preemptive pardons for all kinds of people, including Jack Smith and his folks, and anyone in the ambit of Donald Trump's eyesight right now as he talks about going after his political rivals. And the problem with that that's somewhat lost is, although it's not lost on us here, of course, what are the crimes that you are pardoning? What have they done? What is the crime that Jack Smith has committed? What is the crime that some White House staffer has committed? And absent identifying that, are you not once again playing into Donald Trump's very hands by saying, you know what, we're pardoning people for their crimes, and he will say, see, this is it. The Biden administration full of criminals.
Well,
it's a real problem.
It's funny, I never thought I'd see the day I'm pushing back against a former U.S. attorney, but I'm doing it in the name of all the norm breaking that right. The Trumps have done. That the reason you would do preemptive pardons isn't that you're acknowledging that Jack Smith committed a crime. What you're essentially saying is, we really believe the next administration is going to make up crimes claiming that Jack Smith and others violated, and we're going to provide the pardon early. It's a preemptive pardon against a preemptive trumped up crime. And again, that's a legal thicket that I don't know that our founding fathers really expected when they wrote such a powerful pardon into the Constitution.
It did not. And really the fact, again, that reasonable people can have reasonably different views on all of this and how this should play out is underscores just that. We are breaking norms left and right. We've been doing that now in the first Trump administration. We're anticipating more of that. James Madison did this and put this unfettered responsibility in the Constitution. Why? Because he wanted to posit somewhere inside our government structure the notion of mercy, and wanted to have a person who would look around and say, you know what, in the wake of this conviction, in the wake of this criminal conduct, and by the way, that this person has done something significant in their lives. All the really good, legitimate pardons from any president have been premised upon good works done by these people. And James Madison anticipated a beneficent president who would say, you know what, in the interest of justice, I'm going to exercise some mercy here and do this. That is no longer the motivation for this, plainly. And that's why we get these conundrums and people scratching their head and wondering about how far this power should extend.
Well,
that's
the
problem, right? Yeah.
We never expected that in top law enforcement positions, attorney general, head of the FBI, director of national intelligence, and all of that, that these are folks that would be working so hard to undermine law enforcement and to undermine an independent Department of Justice and undermine an independent judicial branch. In other words, Jim, because we've run out of time, we're going to have plenty to talk about next week.
We will. We certainly will.
With, including you on your program, Amicus, tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock across many Civic Media stations. Jim, thank you again. Thank you so much.
Greg, always good to see you.
Always good to see you as well. Have a wonderful weekend. And when we come back, Congressman Mark Pocan, you're up north.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbald Show.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Demand for bison from Wisconsin consumers continues to surge. Want to get in on the action? I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Friday. The Wisconsin Bison Association would love to have you, and it may not take as much land as you think. Details on the way.
Loss of appetite, drop in milk production, and dehydration are all key indicators of HPAI, or bird flu. This disease is a threat to cattle health and farmers' bottom line. Help protect your herd and reduce the spread by keeping animals hydrated and eating with BioVet. Bovine Goldlight provides key electrolytes for livestock, and our direct-fed microbial products support digestive health and appetite. Learn more at bile-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Pat Reese is one of the members of the Wisconsin Bison Association that's trying to encourage others to take a look at raising the animals, and he says it's surprising how little land you really need.
I figure you can raise one animal unit, so let's say a cow, and perhaps her calf up to 6 months old. You could raise a pair like that on about an acre to an acre and a half here in the Mount Calvary area or in Fond du Lac County. So it doesn't take much to keep the animals. And like I said, we have about 100 acres fenced in, and by the time we were done calving this spring, we were probably up to 48 animals. So you can see we were well balanced as far as acres for pasture versus the number of animals that we had.
Pat Reese from Mount Calvary, a member of the Wisconsin Bison Association. He says, according to the latest census data, Wisconsin was home to more than 6,700 head of bison on 83 different farms. He says, if you're looking to get involved or would like to locate bison in your area, go to their website, wisconsinbison.com.
Attention farmers and ranchers. The Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of a rebate of up to $1,500 on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eyes set on a Can-Am workhorse, now's the time to get your own. Visit your local Can-Am dealer to add a true game changer to your roster. Certain conditions apply. See dealer for details.
The entire Midwest Farm Report team is headed to Wisconsin Dells for the annual Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation's annual meeting and Young Farmer and Agriculturalist Conference starting today. Carrie Shinneke from Dodge County and Clara Hendrich from Calumet County have been reappointed to the Wisconsin Farm Bureau's Promotion and Education Committee by the Board of Directors. Carrie Shinneke is currently the Wisconsin State Fair Agriculture Education Manager. Clara, along with her husband and four of their five adult kids, founded LeClaire Family Creamery in Malone, specializing in goat milk cheeses. Follow our action at Midwest Farm Report on Facebook. I'm Pam Yonke.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy this morning, becoming partly cloudy this afternoon. Our high today in the low 20s with wind out of the west at 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly cloudy, low in the low to mid-teens. Tomorrow, a little breezy, partly cloudy, 36. We'll get to near 40 by Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 17.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Pat Kreitlow, all your time in the media, television, radio, what have you, what was one or two of the oddest things that people were complaining about?
As a TV anchor, your hair.
You have some of the finest hair around. How could anybody criticize your hair?
Oh, well, because a consultant forced me to change it.
Were there focus groups?
I'm not aware of any focus groups other than the audience, which universally hated it. It was a bowl haircut.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media sports guru Mike Clemens, Lisa O'Hearn from the Sister Bay Historical Society, and it's a bar band Friday night. So Terry Barr joins the show with great music.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
The Beatles album Rubber Soul came out this day in 1965. It is 7:34 now. Welcome back to Up North News Radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and I'm joined now by Congressman Mark Pocan on this Friday morning as we look ahead to a new administration and new Republican control of both houses of Congress. Congressman Pocan, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I mean, you know, Washington is not the city of action these days. So,
there's more like a siege mentality there, preparing for the barricades to be overrun, perhaps. I don't know.
It's just, you know, hearing all these interesting, and by interesting, I'm using that term with great latitude,
yes,
cabinet picks and picks for the Trump administration. But also, you know, we're in this week battling communism and other things that there's not really a current problem with, because, you know, this House majority still has no idea how to govern, and they're going to have the tightest margin since 1931 in the next session. So we're going to see how well that's going to work.
I don't know if Greg still has it. If Greg has the audio we played yesterday from Speaker Mike Johnson talking about what a great job they did, you know, with a tight majority last year. And they'll do the same this year. Yep, we got it. Here's what Speaker Mike Johnson had to say earlier this week.
The House would have a larger majority, but redistricting and gerrymandering in the blue states made that almost impossible. But we do have the majority. We know how to govern with that small majority. We've been doing it for a year. We will fill those seats. There'll be 3 vacant when we start, so it'll go from 220 to 217. That is razor thin, but it'll only be for a few months. And we're very confident that we'll get qualified governing conservatives put back in those seats, and we'll grow that margin as we go.
I don't know if I heard any factual information in that statement, Congressman. Did you?
I think I want to buy a Pinto from that guy. you know, he talks very smoothly, but, you know, last year we were on track for Congress to get done the least amount of bills since the Congress of 1860 and maybe 1839. And the only thing that might have changed it is we just went through a slew of post office renamings, which, by the way, one being named after Jimmy Carter had about 15 Republicans vote against it. God knows why. But, you know, we are in middle of, you know, the worst Congress, undeniably, in any of our lifetimes. I mean, you're going back to the mid-1800s. And but we did set a record for speaker votes. We had 19 of them this Congress. So, you know, this is about as bad as it can get. At least that's what I keep telling myself, Pat. This next session, though, we actually picked up seats in the House. Democrats did, despite this so-called wave that happens. We have 215 seats. And what I think the speaker is referring to is, you know, Donald Trump's taken enough people out of their caucus that for the first 3 or 4 months, they can't lose a single member or else they can't pass things. So to say in any way that I serve in a functioning body would mean that I either drink very early in the morning or I am completely delusional.
So it leads to this question, and I ask it in all seriousness, and that is, is there any potential whatsoever that the new Congress, a Republican-led, with Donald Trump in the White House, would do something that would be seen as bipartisan and positive? Now, the alternative, of course, is that everybody talks about the first 100 days. And so in the first 100 days, much like when Newt Gingrich took over, we might see this flurry of extremist activity. It all gets taken to court. There are protests, etc. That's where you'd put your house money on if you were betting. Right. But I feel like it is important to ask if you see any signs out there that early on there's enough Republicans in the House and Senate and say, let's at least get this thing passed. Is there such a thing out there?
Yeah, there's one silver lining, and I always try to find silver linings because otherwise it's hard to get up in the morning. But this one, if you watched yesterday, there was a Senate hearing, and Democrats and Republicans were pummeling Postmaster General because DeJoy is an embarrassment of multitudes. There's a national experiment on rural delivery he tried in Wisconsin, was one of the experiments, the Green Bay area, and he tanked our delivery rate times by 20%. And when I asked him about it in a subcommittee I was on appropriations, he said, well, you know, in the beginning, when they first fired off rockets, some blew up. And I'm like, oh, thanks for blowing up Wisconsin. Oh,
wow.
You know, this guy is so bad that he does bring the two parties together. And I have heard that Donald Trump is likely to fire him, something that Joe Biden supposedly couldn't do because we didn't have the majority of the postal board of governors. But supposedly Donald Trump's figuring out how to do. And honestly, I'm going to applaud that heavily when it happens.
I could not agree more, because I too was dumbfounded that President Biden was following the norms when it comes to the Postmaster General. And yet we see Donald Trump already giving every indication that he's going to fire the FBI director, the one that he appointed to a 10-year term, but that he's going to fire him after 7. So if you're telling me that somebody, I'm not going to give Trump credit, but that somebody said, hey, along with firing the guy we appointed as FBI director, let's also fire the guy we appointed as Postmaster General because nobody likes this guy.
Yeah.
That might actually answer my question as one thing there where every American can look and go, well, they did that much.
Yeah. And honestly, if that happens, I will applaud the action, because Postmaster DeJoy has been an embarrassment on many levels. I've been in both private and public meetings with him. The most obtuse guy. He's combative, doesn't listen to anyone. And all he thinks his job is to trim costs, not that it's actually in the Constitution, Postal Service. Of all the federal things we do, there's not that many in the Constitution. And that is, and he couldn't, you know, accept that delivery of mail was their highest function. So, you know, Democrats and Republicans, I remember after some, we had a private meeting once, and afterwards I had Republicans coming to my side of the floor because I was particularly combative with DeJoy, and we're all high-fiving each other, and we don't usually do that, you know. So he does bring us together in contempt for DeJoy, and if Donald Trump is the one to get rid of him, man, I'm going to applaud it.
Yeah. Well, here's on a different example, and again, I tried to be glass half full with our guest earlier in this week. Yeah. He was from the American Business Immigration Coalition, and this is a, you know, 1,400 different business groups. And the gist of what they're saying is, look, we know it's going to be really tempting for members of the far right to want to come out of the blocks with mass deportations. Their view is, why don't we come out of the blocks with actually coming together with some common sense immigration reform? Maybe it's the deal that was on the table that Trump killed last year. Maybe it's something different. If you, again, were a betting man and said immigration reform is something where maybe they try to get something sensible passed right away, or the extremists right away try to go the mass deportation route, which one do you think we're going to see in late January, early February?
Yeah, this is one where I think someone just kicked over your half full glass, because I think Donald Trump, you know, don't forget, when he was president before, he talks a lot and promises a lot, but delivers very little. Remember how many times we had infrastructure week, but we never had an infrastructure bill. I've got the feeling he's going to go after right away, go into prisons and places to get rid of the crooks that he talked about that are coming across the country, which is a very, very small number. But then after that, you know, I think a lot of the bravado may not turn into real legislation. He might find a few other ways to try to stop the incoming at the border. But I think it's going to be much more difficult for him to actualize what he said. And honestly, he'll go on and say something else, and then everyone will kind of allow him to, because that's kind of what he's gotten away with his entire career.
Wow. We are also, of course, more than a year behind on passing a farm bill. It's left not just farmers, but people who rely on nutrition programs and, you know, exports and everything else hanging for the past year plus. Now, that includes nutrition programs. And for folks who missed it last hour, let's play back what Congressman Tom Tiffany said from up here in the 7th Congressional District about cutting spending and including SNAP nutrition benefits, previously known as food stamps. Here's what Tom Tiffany had to say.
do something about this overspending that's going on in Washington, D.C., and start to get responsible. And by the way, it doesn't have to be just the discretionary spending. We can get at some of the mandatory spending also. I mean, like food stamps, some of those things, that's mandatory spending. You know, I think some of the benefits that are paid in regards to the work requirements, I mean, some of that is under the heading of mandatory spending. We can deal with some of that, too. So I'm really encouraged to hear that. And also, boy, the regulatory state, we got to deal with it, because there may be more bang for the buck in terms of growing our economy of making regulatory changes, get the impediments out of the way, let those job creators and entrepreneurs really be able to go to work. There's probably more bang for the buck there than even the deficit reduction stuff.
When the very first idea out of your mouth is, you know, hungry families need to go hungry more often. That makes me wonder, as if he doesn't think there are any struggling families in his district.
Well, or he doesn't listen to all his constituents, because clearly, you know, seniors are a huge part of that population, by the way, just not talked about a lot, but a lot of seniors are getting supplemental nutrition assistance. And so, but when he says mandatory, don't forget what he's starting to point to are there's a discretionary and non-discretionary, right? Non-discretionary is things like Social Security and Medicare. And this is what they're talking about. When you look at this Doge committee or Dodge, however you pronounce Elon Musk and the other guy is going to do, which they have no authority because Congress has the spending authority. So in large part, this is just, you know, reasons for them to stop at Mar-a-Lago and hang out at dinners. But they're going to come up with all sorts of ideas, but they want to go after Social Security and Medicare. I hope they do raise those issues, because then they'll show themselves for what they really are. But, you know, the largest part of discretionary spending, the stuff that we can attack the easiest, is the defense budget. And, you know, when you spend $8 billion on amphibious vehicles that only sink, yeah, I would say there's some places you could cut. But they don't say that. Right off the bat, they go after things that actually help his constituents to get by day to day. And it's probably the number one program to keep kids out of poverty is food stamps.
Well, but I guess I thought all I ever heard about was the deficit and the national debt, and we're bankrupting our future. And yet, if you're going to be cutting spending for family nutrition, but you're also going to be cutting taxes for millionaires and billionaires, it makes me wonder if it ever really was about the deficit.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing is, you know, next year is the big tax bill. We anticipate September, October-ish, they're going to try to pass it, because they've our new calendar. And by the way, you're going to see this probably background a little more often, because I'm going to be out here almost all the time with the calendar they have. But there's a period that we think they're going to try to do the reconciliation bill that'll do the tax bill and all that. It changes the rules, because you have one kick to the can every, you know, fiscal year to do that with that process, because the Senate's weird rules. And but that's the one where you're going to see, again, tax breaks that are largely going to benefit the Elon Musks of the world and not those people on food stamps and Tom Tiffany in my district.
It again just makes me wonder. We've talked so much since the election about where do progressives go from here. I know the Progressive Caucus, you know, has done their leadership and priorities for the year. And yeah, we're past the election, but somebody's got to be messaging all of these things back to the voters, back to the constituents, you know, in the process of them trying to do it. And we don't have enough time to do the entire election postmortem here, but going forward, Congressman, what are your thoughts on whether progressives are going to be, you know, defeated and walk away, or if they're going to be actively involved, not just in trying to oppose things that they can't prevent from passing, but communicating this to the voters back home?
I mean, let me take it at this approach. I think just Democrats in general, whether it's the progressive wing or a more moderate wing of the party, we have to talk about when we were the most successful. I mean, when we're most successful, when we're the party of FDR that did help people who are working class people. This year, we lost the population who made between 30,000 and 100,000 for the first time in the last four or five presidential cycles. And we did it because Donald Trump said things that he's not going to do. But he always says things. You got to remember that last presidency, and he won't deliver. But we didn't talk enough about the minimum wage and really about childcare, which affects a lot of people right now, and healthcare, and all of those core economic issues that people talk about at their kitchen table. And, you know, while we certainly had results from the infrastructure bill and things like that, you don't really see it all yet, because that's just how government works. So, you know, I think we need to get back to those core FDR economic issues that broadly appeal to people, because Donald Trump ain't going to do them. He's just going to give them lip service.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. And instead, he'll show up either at the ribbon cuttings or try to pull back some of the progress that was made during the first half of Joe Biden's term. Congressman Mark Pocan, thanks as always. Great to see you on a Friday morning. Take care. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Thanks so much, Pat. Take care.
All right. When we come back, we'll talk to Dan Schumacher about sports, Packers losing to the Lions, and more right after this. You're up north.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. As Democrats pick up the pieces from their loss to Donald Trump, one of the first major decisions the party will be making is to select the new chair of the Democratic National Committee. The race for that role now has a major Wisconsin connection. Ben Wickler, the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, is now officially running for DNC chair. One Democratic source I talked to characterized Wickler as a Goldilocks candidate for the role. He's liked by both centrists and progressives, big-dollar donors and grassroots organizers, and knows how important state parties around the country can be in a second Trump term. So, could he be just right for the role? The vote for DNC chair is scheduled for February 1st. A lot can happen between now and then. But whether or not Wickler wins in his bid for the role, it will certainly be a story to watch for Democratic politics in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
During the season of giving, the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection asks you to do your research before donating to avoid imposter scams and fake charities. Before giving to a charity, please research the organization at give.org and use verified information. Do not donate through unsolicited links, phone calls, or other messages sent to you. Make sure your contribution goes to the organization and cause you want to support, not a scammer. Learn more at datcp.wi.gov. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection.
Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Michigan man leads lawnmower chase. I'll stop, says the suspect. Instead, he reaches under the seat and pulls out a gun.
Shoots himself in the hand.
The deputy has his taser trained on him, and yes, he tased him.
I'm not advocating him for crime, but boost something that goes faster than cop on foot.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Next week on the program, we'll have Dr. Kristen Lyerly here on Monday, along with Up North News reporter Selena Heller. On Tuesday, we will have author Laura Bird back on to talk about recommendations for books as holiday gifts. She'll have ideas for middle school readers, that's her target audience as a writer, as well as for adults. And on Wednesday morning, in our weekly homeroom segment, it is not too late to decide to run for a seat on your local school board, though the clock is ticking, so we'll talk about what a potential candidate needs to be doing right now. That's all next week here on Up North News Radio. Dan Schumacher joins us from up in Ashland now to talk a bit about sports and life up there on the tundra, near as we can tell, because of the full beard is now in play. So either it's because he's that much closer to the North Pole, or it's whatever you need to stay warm up there. How are things going, Mr. Schumacher?
It's been an interesting week of winter weather up here. There is a thin layer of ice on the Shawamigan Bay, which, to be honest with you, that never even happened till in January last year because it was so mild.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's been a wintry week, but I guess it's going to warm up over the weekend and probably lose all this snow that's on the ground right now. But a little lake effect snow we had on Tuesday night with some wind.
And, of course, the first words out of Dan's mouth this morning, how about your Packers?
How about them Packers?
I just say for where they were a few weeks ago to taking on probably the best team, at least in the NFC, I think the Packers did, they lost by a field goal. They lost.
But, The play of the game is to go for it on fourth and one.
Yeah.
In Green Bay's 20-yard line.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you turn the ball over there, the game's over with. Yeah. Instead, they get the first down and they go down and roll in to the end zone. So Dan Campbell has been gambling. He's made some good decisions and some rough decisions, but
11 in a row, 11 wins in a row. You can't argue with that. So right now, this is their year. But I mean, there's nothing that you look at on the Packers and go, oh God, that, you know, remember how many years we were like fire capers. Like nobody calling for anybody's head here. Unlike say, you know, Luke Fickell with the Badgers and that ain't happening. But for the Packers, it's more like you got to hand it to Detroit and Minnesota. You got three teams in the NFC Norris, as they like to say, that are all fighters this year.
No doubt about it. And you know, what was surprising last night, they had such a long injury list.
Yeah,
Detroit did much, and so did the Packers.
And still got in Jordan Love's face early and often.
So it was interesting. It was very interesting.
Yep.
But it does show that the division is very strong.
Your Bears, meanwhile.
Oh, geez. Car crash.
Hey, someone has to bring up the end here, okay? They're doing the good work as the caboose of the NFC Central.
But by the way, it was the Lions for so many, many years.
Yeah.
And so, you know. I should have looked. I don't know what the Bears are doing this weekend here, but
they're 4-8.
Oh, they're at San Francisco Sunday afternoon, 3:25. So
yeah,
there.
So they're a national game too. So that makes it even more embarrassing.
Ever the optimist.
It's just always inevitable. The beginning of the season, y'all think you're just like made of bulletproof vest. By like week three or four, you're like, this isn't good. By now, you're like, well, we should just – can we forfeit? Can we legally forfeit the game without
– just sell the team? Yeah.
We're talking about selling the team. There you go. Jeff Bezos, he was publicly saying on Twitter and everything that he would love to buy the Chicago Bears.
Oh, boy.
And George McCaskey, who's the elder statesman in the McCaskey family, just came back on Twitter. We are not for sale.
Yeah.
Right back to them, because the fans were yelling for the McCaskies to get rid of the team. It's just not working. You know, look at Jerry Jones. I mean, it's just dysfunctional there too.
It's funny, the degree to which some teams, the owners are like ubiquitous, and not in a great way. I mean, Jerry Jones hasn't really done much positive for the team, and then the other was Dan Snyder with the Washington football team, the Commanders. I mean, that guy was a lightning rod from the get-go from this once storied franchise, and it was like the moment he left, Washington suddenly got better. You know, just the environment that an owner can put on a team is just stunning sometimes.
But I think the Cowboys are going to be buried with him. They're going to be buried with Jerry Jones. They're going to have to start a new team.
Yeah. You know, what was interesting, I was doing some extra reading and some digging. Jim Harbaugh was actually offered the Bears job, wanted the Bears job.
Yeah.
But Warren, the president, would not allow Poles, the general manager, to interview him because he did not get along with him, because Warren, the president of the Bears, used to be the commissioner of the Big Ten. And didn't like Jim Harbaugh.
Oh my God! So never even
gave, because of personal reasons, never gave Jim Harbaugh, former Bear, who's going out, goes out to the Chargers and is lighting it up.
Oh, is this Knott's Landing or Falcon Crest? Yeah. Which soap opera am I watching here? Real quick, the Bucks are in Boston tonight. The Badger men's basketball team against Marquette tomorrow, 12:30, 11:30 on several Civic Media stations and the Civic Media app. The Badger women and the Marquette women are in the NCAA volleyball tournament. They're both in second round games tonight. The Badger women's hockey team still ranked number one in the country. They are in Mankato tonight and tomorrow. And that is everything I've got in front of me there. So it's just a busy time of year, Dan. I'm sure up by Northland as well.
Just a shout out to my cousin. My cousin is the head women's volleyball coach for Penn State, who just won the Big Ten. She was just named Big Ten Volleyball Coach of the Year.
Wow.
My cousin. At the same time, it's a pretty unbelievable story. She's battling cancer right now while she's coaching.
Wow.
So shout out to my cousin Katie, who's as tough as nails and an incredible volleyball player, Olympian herself, and a great coach, and she's doing wonderful things with Penn State, keeping that tradition going.
If she is a great coach and tough as nails, then yes, she is a relative of yours indeed. Dan Schumacher, good to talk to you. Stay warm up there. Have a good weekend.
Peace.
All right. Greg Bach is back for Matt and Air on Air 2 short hours from now with Jane, Matt, and Air. Thanks to all of our guests for being here this morning, including Congressman Mark Pocan. And thanks to you for joining us as well. Up North News is the Wisconsin outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. Remember, you can follow us on social media starting at our website, upnorthnewswi.com. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday morning up north.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll be live at WRCE in Richland Center, an entire hour of the Ewing brothers, Brady and Brandon, sports, life, outdoors, and more, and Peter Rapine. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
At Harbor Freight, our low prices make us the place for gifts that keep on giving. Because when you give the gift of quality tools, you're giving someone the ability to fix, restore, and build for years to come. And with savings like these, you can even get something for yourself. Whatever you do, do it for less at Harbor Freight. Stop by and give yourself the gift of great prices.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.